Welcome from Mrs. Jones. Today's podcast is about design principles and distance education. Distance education seems to be a very popular thing nowadays. I know a lot of the teachers that I work with are getting their degrees or advanced degrees through online universities or universities that have an online component. The wonderful flexibility of these options is great, but it's important that we don't just take the traditional classroom and put it in an online format. There's a lot more to it than that if it's well done. So these are three basic design principles that I think should be used more on online learning. First of all, the use of multimedia. It's very important to match the content with the learner outcomes, simply because it's very easy to put things into an online format because it's much like a correspondence course doesn't mean that that's all that should be used. Anybody that you can talk to can tell you that it's much easier, for example, to read a book than it is to read a book online. So we can't just take all those lecture notes and all those books and just slap them on a screen and expect that that's going to be just as good as sitting in a classroom. We need to use the technology, not just put things that we had in a traditional learning environment into technology. The rationale for this, of course, is because we have the opportunity to go multimedia. Why not use it? That's what the medium of the web, why it's so popular today, why more and more people are getting their information not from a traditional news source like radio or television, but getting it online. That's why I know many people who watch their television shows from online sources rather than traditional broadcast networks. So the three types of multimedia that I think are the least utilized are, first of all, the use of video. Video is a very important teaching technique, and I happen to be going to school on education. And so in education, we really need to see how this works with actual young children. It's one thing for a teacher to explain to adults how this works, and of course we can all role play, we're all pretty good at that, but it really is important to see education being delivered to actual students. Also, video learning is becoming more and more popular in all sorts of different endeavors. I work a second job in retail, as many teachers do, and almost all of the training is done via video. And again, to be able to see someone interacting with a customer and to see displays is a much more powerful way and much more effective to see a visual than just to talk about it. Another way to use multimedia is through video conferencing. Again, education is a people business, and it's an intellectual exercise, really. And this idea of that there's nothing new out there, there's just ideas that keep getting rehashed and reformulated and slightly tweaked as people learn about something and then apply it to a situation and then start to it starts to change and morph and grow. The last is having a rich online discussion format. Having a rich online discussion format is the closest thing to actual classroom participation. And it doesn't matter if it's through a discussion forum or whether it's through live chatting. Either way is extremely powerful. To give an example of a great use of online discussion, if you go to wholebrainteaching.com, each Tuesday night, Chris Biffle, the founder of Whole Brain Teaching, has a webcast. And at the same time as the webcast is going on, there are teachers from all over the country who are have an online discussion that's going on. And he sees this as he's talking, and so he modifies and changes what he has to say as he's watching what other people have to say. And then if someone has a question, they can talk amongst themselves through that online discussion. And as well, he also has what he calls experts in the field whose names appear in red. And those experts offer the advice that Chris himself would offer. But he often is, as I said, he's reading those the scrolling as it goes, and often he'll make comments as he goes along. It's a great use of not only the video to teach, he uses PowerPoint slides as well, but to see that online discussion as it flows and ebbs is a really powerful thing. It's something I make sure I make time for every Tuesday. The second instructional design principle of distance education that I don't think is being utilized enough is to integrate interaction. The interaction is really key because we're trying to replicate that actual classroom participation. In a document called The Roadmap to Effective Distance Education, Educational Instructional Design, they outline three different types of interaction that needs to take place: learner to teacher, learner to learner, and learner to content. All three of these are needed for mastery. The learner must master the content. The learner must be able to explain that content to a fellow learner, and then the apprenticeship model where the learner explains to a master or a teacher. In an article in Education and Information Technologies in December of 2012, the article was entitled An Approach to Designing and Evaluating Blended Courses. They had three different words that they used. They used interaction to describe the learner-to-teacher part, the apprenticeship, and this can be done through emails and forums. They described collaboration, and in collaboration, really the idea of group projects, although this can be very, very scary, I can say, as an online learner. These group projects, you know, you don't really know these people, and you're hoping when you're assigned a group that you've got really, really good people working with you, but sometimes you don't. Sometimes you have people that just drive you nuts because you want to get the assignment done way ahead of time, and they're some of these people that are, you know, wait till the 11th hour. But doing a group project, if there are clearly delineated roles, can be very, very powerful in education because we're always working with others. And then they call the last type of interaction content. And that's where the learner can interact by reviewing articles, by evaluating, by going on web quests and blog quests. And there's certainly a tremendous amount of information on the World Wide Web when it comes to anything you want to find out about. The last instructional design principle that I think is underutilized in distance education is the idea of a flipped lesson. This is a relatively new idea. The best way to describe it is to contrast it with a traditional lesson. In a traditional lesson, the students attend a lecture, they take notes, they're given a homework assignment, and then that homework assignment is brought back to be graded. In a flipped lesson, students watch the lecture or watch some type of presentation on video. They're usually assigned some sort of homework assignment, and then they come to class with that homework assignment. That homework assignment then becomes the springboard for class interaction. Very often it's done in a science capacity, so that would be some sort of science lab. So basically it's flipped because instead of getting the content at school, students are getting the content whenever they would like in their home environment. An article in August of 2005 in School Administrator, Volume 5, Number 1, talked about a high school that saw their failure rate reduce by 2/3 of their students in English and language arts, with similar reductions in their failure rates in other subject areas. What's interesting to me about the article was that they reduced the failures in English. And we tend to think of English as like, well, how do you do videos for English? You know, English is writing. And how do you interact in school in English? Because it's writing and it's literature, it's reading. So the fact that this was an English language arts, I thought was very, very interesting. One of a great new website that's out there to assist teachers in flipping their lessons is TED-Ed. And the web address is ed.ted.com. And their moniker, if you will, is Lessons Worth Sharing. And basically, it's a site that helps teachers flip lessons. And it divides the lesson into four components. The watch component, where either they will match teachers with animators, or you can use YouTube videos. They help you come up with a quick interactive quiz that students can take online and that then teachers can evaluate. And then there's a think section and a dig deeper section. And all of those parts, those four parts, are designed to be flipped. That is done by the students in their own time, so they can come to class and interact. It certainly is a wonderful site, and it's free, by the way, and a wonderful idea to reduce this idea of sage on the stage, that it's the teacher who holds all the knowledge and you are just the lowly learner. It flips that whole idea on its head. So that's my ideas for improving distance level education from my classroom to yours.